European leaders say they'll have a plan to deal with the debt crisis by the end of the month.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, in the world of financial news, you know you have a big story when government leaders meet on a Sunday. It's a day when the big stock markets are closed, so there's a little more breathing room for decision making. Well, it was a Sunday meeting yesterday for the French President Nicolas Sarkozy and the German Chancellor Angela Merkel. And the headline is, they want to come up with a solution to the European debt crisis by the end of the month. For more, let's bring in Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for the BBC. He's with us live from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Andrew, tell us a little bit about what Merkel and Sarkozy have decided to do.
Well, you pretty much got the bare bones of it there, that they clearly recognise there is a serious problem with the Eurozone banks, and they say they are going to come up with a plan by the end of the month. So that's just ahead of the G20 summit, which is in early November. Mm. They're going to come up with a plan to provide the banks with more capital. They are going to do it, but they haven't told us anything very much about exactly what the detail of that plan is going to be. The markets quite like the fact that there is going to be a plan, but I think they'd be a lot happier if it had some credible detail.
Well, when you say providing the banks with more capital, we've heard this idea of recapitalizing the banks. Explain what that means or what that might mean as they go forward.
Fundamentally, what it means is that the governments, although some of this money might come from the private sector, but it's going to be mainly from the public sector, they would basically buy new shares in the banks so that the banks would then have a bigger financial cushion to fall back on. But at the same time, governments would then have a stake in the banks, which, if things go well, they will one day be able to sell. It's very much the way in which the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, worked out in the end in the United States.
And Andrew, as you start this week, last week was kind of a big week in the European debt crisis with all the banking troubles, et cetera. Does this seem like it's going to be a rough one, or is this going to be a little bit easier?
I think the markets are going to be, my guess is, marking time a little, because they've now got a clear sense that there is a plan being worked on. But I think they're going to get very, very unhappy indeed if they don't get some credible information about how it'll work fairly soon.
The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Thanks, Andrew.
My pleasure.
Well, here in California, Governor Jerry Brown just made it easier for undocumented students to access public funds. He signed the second half of California's version of the DREAM Act, which is designed to help kids who were brought into this country illegally pay for college. Under the new law, around 2,500 students could qualify for financial aid from public funds. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
22-year-old Justino Mora is a student at UCLA. He's won academic scholarships in the past, but then donors find out he's undocumented.
They call me and they tell me, look, the fact that you are undocumented, you know, we can't give you the scholarship.
The new law gives students like him access to private scholarships and public grants. It could cost the state as much as $15 million. And Helica Salas is executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights Los Angeles. She says the law ensures that undocumented students are the last to receive public funding.
They are going to have to wait until the financial need is met for U.S. citizens and people with legal status.
Unlike the federal DREAM Act before Congress, California's version does not provide any pathway to citizenship. So even if students get financial help with college, it will still be illegal for them to work in this country when they graduate. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up right now in overseas trading. In London, we're up about 0.6% and about 0.2% in Frankfurt. Tomorrow is the big start of corporate earnings season here in the U.S. We'll hear from the aluminum maker Alcoa. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 20 points to close at 11,103.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Well, today is Columbus Day, although it may be difficult to tell in many places because not everyone has the day off. Still, retailers are pegging big sales to the holiday. But how much money can they really bring in on a holiday like Columbus Day? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
You're probably working today, but that doesn't stop retailers from trying to spin this day into a moneymaker. Marshall Cohen is the chief retail analyst at the NPD Group.
As retailers have looked every month to find a way to create a holiday so that consumers will feel the urge to spend or shop or save.
Save during Columbus Day sales of electronics. Cohen says many stores have furniture on sale for people who want to get rid of their ratty old recliners before the invasion of the in-laws during the real holidays. John Long is a retail strategist at Kurt Salmon. He says retailers will also try to get you into a new winter coat.
Probably the most important thing about Columbus Day is that it's a great transition point. So you will get customers coming in looking for some of the cold weather items, sweaters and the like.
For lots of stores, October is their third best month of the year, actually because Halloween also helps scare up sales. In Washington, where lots of people have today off, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, I see a lot of stupid criminal stories, but usually the stupid criminals are trying to steal jewelry or cash from a bank. Well, last week, thieves managed to steal a 50-foot bridge in North Beaver Township, Pennsylvania. It's about 20 feet wide, made of corrugated steel, and said to be worth about $100,000. Officials say they probably want to sell the parts. Well, officials also say the criminals probably had to use a torch to take the bridge apart before they stole it. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Small towns aren't competing with cities anymore. Instead, they're partnering up. Give a little, get a little.
People today look at Des Moines as being an asset instead of being detrimental.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Small towns, big towns, they're making it work. That story and today's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.